WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. It appears that NATO's military alliance will get its 32nd member after Turkey says Sweden made changes that Turkey demanded on weapon sales and anti-terrorism, so Turkey has dropped its opposition. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
More security for Turkey and a stronger NATO.
The announcement made in Lithuania, where NATO's gathered for meetings. President Biden's there, expected to rally support for continuing help for Ukraine. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer acknowledging the ongoing deadly flood disaster in his home state.
Streets have been turned into rivers. Houses have been swept away in their entirety. And sadly, at least one person has lost her life.
There is flooding in various areas throughout the East. An escaped jail prisoner accused of shooting a California Highway Patrol officer and killing a hostage outside of Sacramento is now under arrest. Wall Street major indexes had an up day. This is ABC News. Harry Styles, the latest singer hit on stage by an object thrown from the crowd.
In a video posted on social media, Harry Styles is walking off stage, not singing, and something hits him near his eye. The object thrown from the crowd with some serious velocity, and it appears Styles was hit hard and stunned. This was at a concert over the weekend in Vienna. No word from Styles or his camp about the incident. Recently, several artists have been hit while on stage, including Drake and Bebe Rexha, who was hit by a phone, suffering a black eye, and she needed stitches. Jason Adelson, ABC News, Hollywood.
The TSA today saying agents have stopped more than 3,200 guns from going through airport screening checkpoints during the first half of the year. That's more than all of last year. Transportation Security Administration also says the number of guns found loaded so far this year is also higher, about 92%. The increase in guns found comes as more passengers are flying. Andy Field, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says that temperatures will reach just over 90 degrees in parts of Wisconsin before giving way to storms, some of which could be severe. The National Weather Service says most of western Wisconsin is at risk for scattered strong to severe storms, with the main threats being hail and high winds. The window for the greatest storm threat is from 4 until 10 p.m. Dozens of employees held a strike outside of the Lining Kugels Brewery in Chippewa Falls on Monday. Teamsters Union Local 662 said that over 40 workers were part of the strike, demanding better wages. Molson Coors, which owns Lining Kugels, said it made an offer that was better than unionized rates for similar jobs and that it doesn't expect the strike to impact its retail business. A spokesperson for the union said it's the first strike at the brewery since the 1980s. And the first challenger to Republican Derek Van Orden in Congress has announced her candidacy. Rebecca Cook, a small business owner in Eau Claire, is seeking the seat that's been held by Van Orden since last year. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to the Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7 WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. This is, you know, one of the civic media stations. And before I jump into my guest, I want to make sure all of you listeners are fully aware of what is happening with civic media and are out there encouraging people to donate blood. Please go to, HTTPS, civicmedia.us /give blood/, folks. Jump on and you can find out all you can do to give blood. Folks really need it. This is for the hashtag Civic Pints, and we need blood in Wisconsin, folks. Please, please, please. Here's a trick. If you submit your selfie at the webpage address, you can be entered to win prizes. Like, they got a pair of tickets to the Brewers. 50 pairs are being given away. And there's a pair of tickets that's headed to State Fair coming up, another 50. And then Civic Media even has a swag pack, 100 swag packs. So jump on early and go for those Brewers tickets or State Fair, you know, Civic Media swag, you know. That's great stuff. But, hey, folks, please jump on. Let's get blood to folks that really need it in the great state of Wisconsin. Let's keep us moving forward. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, folks, I'm very, very proud to introduce the guest for tonight, Jonathan Brostoff. Jonathan Brostoff is a former state assembly rep. He currently is with the Common Council in the city of Milwaukee. I haven't had a chance to talk to him or introduce him to you before, but he has a lot to share with us about this whole budget process and his perception on how the, you know, certain right-wing Republicans have really tried to play a divide and conquer tactic with Wisconsin. So I'll let Jonathan tell you more. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. It's a good night to discuss politics. That's for sure. We got a lot going on.
It's sunny out there. It's a classic summer day. So before we get into some of the specifics, how about sharing some of your background with listeners so they have an idea who you are and how you ended up sitting in the seat that you are?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Jonathan Brostoff, and I'm currently the alderperson for the 3rd District here in Milwaukee, but Before that, I served for 8 years in the state legislature in the 19th Assembly District, in large part because of Mark's help to get there. It was a very tough race in the beginning. And then before that, I spent about just under two decades working and volunteering in various homeless shelters, mostly 11 to 17 year old shelter pathfinders, and also at some other ones, including the SGC Family Support Center. Basically my path to politics started very early at 14, working in a myriad of direct service agencies, and I kept kind of going along that path. And then after my AmeriCorps service, after I graduated high school, I really decided I needed to learn more about the systems at place that created a society that, you know, produced such such a dichotomy and disparate wealth outcomes. So that's how I started volunteering on campaigns of people I believed in, and eventually started working in the offices of various elected officials at multiple levels. And then I decided to run myself. So that's where I'm at. I have not yet lost an election, so it's been a good run so far, and I've got to accomplish some good stuff, but very, very happy to be at the city now. It's a very unique opportunity and wildly different than it was at the state.
So let's, before we jump into sort of the current lay of the land, you were initially elected as assembly rep for the 19th district in 2014, and so you served 8 years, right? So almost a decade. So you have a lot of experience looking at the world from Madison and the chairs of Madison, and also as a minority party player in that whole thing.
Yes.
I know, though, before we get into the perspective, you were successful in moving some legislation, right? Especially the hearing impaired, right?
Yeah, I was able to get a few pretty substantive pieces through. The biggest one was my deaf bill to help the deaf community here in Wisconsin, which I'm very proud of. I was also able to stop some pretty bad legislation. There was a move to get rid of professional licensure in Wisconsin. It's part of a larger national movement, but Wisconsin's kind of ground zero because of the incredible amount of infrastructure the Koch brothers had invested in here, and they're on the ground, they're kind of boots on the ground capacity. But we're able to defeat that and able to get my legislation through in that context, which was very difficult, but it was a good lesson in how to navigate incredibly suspect waters. And there were a couple other small things. There's some Alzheimer's legislation, some regulations around unarmed combat sports, and a few other things. But the deaf bill is really kind of my shining achievement, and feel very proud of that one.
Yeah, it's just, what is that mean? Many people don't probably even know what that means or what actually it accomplished for human beings in the state. Like, what are the key highlights of that bill?
Basically, it makes it much better for people in the deaf community who often rely on interpreting services for their ability to communicate with the rest of the world. And we're able to overcome a pretty much disaster for the community, and that would have blown up their opportunity for access, and come forward with a better regulatory structure, as well as a basically like kind of a self-correcting mechanism moving forward that didn't exist. So basically it just made lives much better for the deaf community in Wisconsin. I would say arguably for generations to come. And it was tough because the deaf community doesn't really have a lot of political power at the time, or really a lot of money or stuff like that. In fact, compared to their hearing counterparts, they're much worse off socioeconomically. So it was a big lift, but we're able to do it and get it through unanimously in both houses eventually.
That's awesome. So your time there, you actually participated in a few, at least a couple of budgets, right? The whole process?
Yeah, both under Walker and Evers. So very different. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take that, you know, that bring that statewide perspective for all of us here.
Sure.
And I just want to revisit some of this because we have a budget deal that has been passed now, but I think it's important to always remember sort of the where we started and where we're at and how we got there and where we're the road forward. So take us back. You are now facing this budget as a city alderman and you see Tony Evers' budget proposal. What do you see good for the people and creating a better Wisconsin with that initial budget? And then frame it in the idea, right? I want to see like how that was taken apart and how they did it. And let's just have a conversation.
Sure. Well, the initial budget had a lot of incredible, very progressive, very wonderful pieces of it that unfortunately under the Republicans got ripped to shreds. I'll go over a couple highlights that I thought were very important. One is, especially in Milwaukee, a pretty big deal, which is the amount of the huge investment he put into removing lead service lines and basically preventing lead poisoning, which disproportionately would have helped Milwaukee, but would have helped a lot of parts of the state. There were hundreds of millions put into that. Another one is, he put a lot of money in for the continuum of care for people with various needs, including behavioral health issues, and actually declared it the year of mental health. So there was just he put a ton of money into care facilities, psychiatric treatment, etc., which is severely needed and also can be very helpful preventing issues down the road. And the last piece of it I'll just highlight was kind of the long-standing fight there's been since Walker, which is expanding Medicaid and bringing Badger Care up to the level of many other states, including other Midwestern states that were governed by Republicans like Indiana at the time. And this is hard to, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars just from a fiscal standpoint that we're losing out on every year. We don't expand Medicaid, but on top of that, it's also most importantly, people not getting access to the service that they need for healthcare and especially for preventative healthcare, which can prevent someone from having to get their healthcare through emergency rooms down the road. When Walker first decided to run for president years ago, he made this a huge, you know, line in the sand, and the Republicans have maintained it, but it's hurting us every single year. And that was another provision that was very hopeful to be in there, but unfortunately that the Republicans ripped to shreds.
I think that there was a significant cost, right, of loss of federal dollars too with the
failure. Oh yeah,
with the Medicaid,
hundreds of millions of dollars every single year. So by now, I mean, it's astronomical, the amount. Yeah.
So the one other briefly here before we go to the break, and then we'll come back. His tax cut was aimed at the middle class and not the wealthy, right?
Correct.
Okay, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, former state assembly, now currently on the Common Council in Milwaukee. We are talking about the budget process and the Republicans divide and conquer strategy and how we're going to overcome that to keep us moving forward. Come on right back. This is your Paul Revere Show.
Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemmyhue, the Republican Party at the top. Why don't start banning books, for God's sake?
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, otherwise mainly clear. Lows dip down to about 49. North winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 75. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, 55. Cloudy. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday and Thursday. Upper 70s Wednesday, low 80s by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 79.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Oh. Welcome back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7 at WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. Civic Media's voice to the state. And here we are out of Waukesha, and we are honored to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff, former assembly person from the 19th district, currently a member of the Common Council representing District 3 in the city of Milwaukee. And we're talking about the budget and shared revenue and how that all played out. And we were just before the break talking about the initial proposal by the governor and his tax breaks focused on the middle class with some real, real focus on some super benefits to folks. So, Jonathan, in response, what did I call him King Voss? What did King Voss and company do?
Well, they decided to basically blow a bunch of the extra money the state had on targeting the extremely, the very wealthy to the extremely wealthy, and just funneling a ton of money into a relatively few amount of hands, where the average Wisconsinite would have seen basically no difference. But if you were making, you know, half a million, you know, you see a little bit more, but if you're making millions, you'd see a huge difference. And that was their kind of take on it. And sorry, I've got my little ones that are somehow must have escaped their room. They're supposed to be getting ready for bedtime right now, but I'm sorry if you can hear that.
We can't hear anything and we can't see anything. So just
okay. I got my screen up.
So that's all right. We can hear some happy children chatter in the
back. Yeah,
that's all right. But let's talk about sort of this attack by the far right Republicans and how they really tried to go after the concept of local control and divide and conquer the city from the greater state. How did you see that playing out?
Well, unfortunately, it's been going on for a while, and they've really perfected it at this point, because they have nearly a two-thirds majority in both chambers. So they have basically, you know, they used to be, the Republicans in Wisconsin historically have been known, at least, as the party of local control. And nationally, that's a big thing is, you know, they just want federal government out of the way. They want the locals to decide. They want state government out of the way. They want the municipal and local government to decide. But it couldn't be further from the truth as far as, you know, these last 10 years or so. Most recently, one of the big things they've been doing is, again, pushing this, you know, whatever the flavor of the week for their national outrage machine is, whether it's, you know, critical race theory or DEI or any of that stuff. So this last iteration is they basically said Milwaukee can get access to the life-saving critical money that it needs, which partially we need because the state has been starving us out and stepping on our throat for so many years. But nonetheless, the money that we need, but they're going to attach a bunch of poison pills to the package that our policy, no matter what we do with the money. So if we get the money, it's policy. If we don't, it's policy. And an example of that is hiring a bunch of new police and fire, or specifically police, you know, removing the ability to use tax dollars for those dollars generated that way for things like the HOP, you know, trying to take away our ability to have DEI and Office of Equity policies. One of the most powerful civilian oversight bodies for police and fire in the country is housed in Wisconsin through the FPC, the Fire and Police Commission here in Milwaukee, and removing basically a lot of the policymaking from that body, as well as authority over the chief, over the decisions of hiring. So those were examples. But again, basically, they have wanted all these kind of wish lists of things. And so they jammed it in this year because they knew that they had some leverage over the governor, whereas normally he would just veto it.
So, you know, you touched on a bunch of different issues, poison pills. I don't know if a lot of people, especially if you're not living in the city, really understand the full import of some of that.
Sure. But
you had mentioned, you know, mandating hiring police, but it was also specifically a putting police officers in schools,
right,
after the school board had said we don't really need it, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah, 25 what's known as SROs or school resource officers, which are putting 25 cops in schools, which is in direct response to the local government making a decision about this and saying they don't want this anymore. And in direct conflict with that, the state came in, intervened, and took over and removed that opportunity for local decision making from elected officials.
You know, in your capacity, what did you see from other municipalities around the state when this piece of legislation really attacks Milwaukee in particular? Did you hear anything from other folks that you may have known?
There was some solidarity in certain regards with the League of Municipalities. There was a little bit, but overall, everyone, I think, felt that they were so over a barrel because they were getting a 20%, at least 20% increase in shared revenue that they basically didn't raise a big fuss over it. And they kind of felt that they had to publicly support it. So I think there was that sentiment, but they just have been starved of resources for so long that they felt they needed the shared revenue above all else.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, giving us the inside scoop on how this budget process is playing out. Come on back and hear more details. Again, this is your Paul Revere Show.
The
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The largest peacetime military alliance in the world will be getting larger. NATO says Sweden has made changes Turkey's been demanding on fighting terrorism and other issues. NATO Secretary General Jan Stoltenberg.
President Erdogan has agreed to forward the accession protocol for Sweden to the Grand National Assembly as soon as possible.
NATO gathering in Lithuania for meetings. President Biden is there, expecting to urge continued support for Ukraine in its war against Russia. But Mr. Biden opposing NATO membership for Ukraine right now. More than 35 million Americans on alert for extreme hot weather from California to Florida. Temperatures over 100 in some places. After storms in the Northeast, deadly flash flooding emergencies. Northern California man who was in jail, charged with shooting a California Highway Patrol officer and killing a hostage, now recaptured after escaping yesterday. Law enforcers say Eric Abreel was found in the woods. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says that temperatures will reach just over 90 degrees in parts of Wisconsin before giving way to storms, some of which could be severe. The National Weather Service says most of western Wisconsin is at risk for scattered strong to severe storms, with the main threats being hail and high winds. The window for the greatest storm threat is from 4 until 10 p.m. Dozens of employees held a strike outside of the Lining Kugels Brewery in Chippewa Falls on Monday. Teamsters Union Local 662 said that over 40 workers were part of the strike, demanding better wages. Molson Coors, which owns Lining Kugels, said it made an offer that was better than unionized rates for similar jobs, and that it doesn't expect the strike to impact its retail business. A spokesperson for the union said it's the first strike at the brewery since the 1980s. And the Eau Claire Police Department said that a man wanted for murder is in custody. Kimon Golden, who is being charged with first-degree intentional homicide, was taken into custody July 6th in Illinois. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. I am privileged and honored to have Jonathan Brostoff as our guest tonight, former state assembly person who brings that Madison expertise to the discussion. Currently, he is an alderman with the 3rd District in Milwaukee, sits on the Common Council. And we've been talking about the deal on the budget that was cut. So, Jonathan, What is the deal that finally got signed in place coming out of the governor's proposal and a middle class tax break and then the right-wing king boss bill on giving the money to the rich? What actually ended up getting signed and where are we at?
Well, they did move forward with a bill. There was a lot of the tax cuts. That was the kind of the, there was a couple aspects of the veto pen that were pretty prominent in this one. But the major one, I would say, was removing the, you know, basically, you know, just giveaways to the wealthiest, you know, around us. And they also, you know, were able to, he was able to use his veto pen. Wisconsin has this kind of like, it's known as the Vanna White or Frankenstein veto. So he was able to change some numbers around. And instead of having a, he was able to, instead of having just a couple year, you know, short increase for the revenue for public school children of about $323 or so, he basically made it indefinite with a 400 year increase. So he was able to manipulate the, he was able to Vanna White the numbers and put, you know, the extra zero in that was a, that was probably the most reported aspect of it because it was so novel, which, and it was, and it's completely legal. That's just how the Wisconsin budget works. But I would say the biggest part is probably the veto of the giveaways to the millionaires and billionaires that he did. And there was, you know, a lot of compromises. And at any time you have shared government, there's going to be a lot of compromise. You know, there was some money for PFAS cleanup and, you know, there was some money for local governments and, you know, all the kind of normal stuff that's historically been kind of like good governance in Wisconsin. But I would say the biggest fight was over the tax breaks and the budget. And then right before that was the other aspect to it, which was shared revenue deal that Milwaukee was a huge part of and was uniquely treated, but was actually, you know, for the whole state. That's another topic we can touch on, but might be one of a lot of interest given that we're voting on it tomorrow here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the whole shared revenue concept, because you, you talked about a little earlier that it was part of this divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, we had Governor Walker and then the Republicans for years and years and years. The shared revenue proposal was bad for all municipalities all over the state.
Yeah.
Right.
For the most part, there were a couple, there were a handful that benefited significantly, but almost exclusively, yes, it was a bad deal, including for some of the rural areas as well.
Right. And so, I mean, that, and then this time around, all of a sudden they said, we're going to have some money in the future go towards shared revenue. And so there's municipalities that were starved for money and they wanted it. Right. And so,
yep.
Setting aside from Milwaukee, the municipalities, some got up, 15%?
It started at 15%, and then there was kind of a late minute change in the negotiations where it got up to 20%, which did a couple things because it puts more pressure on Evers to sign it because you have all these municipalities around the state, including areas like Appleton, Green Bay, Oconto, Eau Claire, Ashwaubenon, Richland Center, etc., that were in dire need of more shared revenue. And, you know, we've seen this play out in all sorts of referendum across the state, trying to do simple things like even, you know, for the schools, funding basic school services or, you know, capital improvements, but also for a lot of their important municipal functions. So you had a lot of areas that really needed that money. And when they sweetened the pot to 20%, I mean, that was for some of these areas, or at least 20%, for some of these areas, that was just an unthinkable lifeline. So it means if you're Evers, you're even.
They offered Milwaukee 20% too, right?
That would have been great. Milwaukee, unfortunately, only got a 10%. So they, right, again, pitted us against the rest of the state by carving out an exception where the 10% is not, it's a significant deal for Milwaukee. Partially also because it has a mechanism where it can grow as long as we grow, which did not exist before. And obviously with inflation and every, you know, price of stuff going on as it does naturally, and even more so in the last year or so, that really has hit us hard. So we got a better deal as well, but in comparison to everywhere else, statistically it was nowhere near what they got. Yeah.
I throw that out because I'm on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Mm. And when we disperse money, for example, federal grant money, we've put that out as in terms of grants pro rata. Mm. So it's per person, not per city. Right? Yeah. So everybody, we've tried to share those funds equally.
Which is how it should be. It makes a ton of sense.
Right? It sort of sounds that way, right?
Yes.
So they didn't do it. And so they created this divide and conquer kind of thing. So they put all this pressure on the municipalities outside of Milwaukee to lean on Tony Evers to sign it. And, yes. And in place, so they set up Milwaukee.
Yep.
And so Milwaukee had to live with these bad policy decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. They kind of stacked the deck where normally Evers would veto the hell out of, you know, all of these. But they, again, the concept of the poison pill, which the Republicans become so expert, they know that there are people in Wisconsin who still want to govern, who believe in people getting their needs met and services being fulfilled and, you know, water being treated in municipalities or having your roads paved or whatever. And they leverage that and they use that against those who want to govern by, you know, basically being willing to threaten that unless you take all these extra, you know, crap that they want to enact. And it was even more so because, again, this wasn't just a Milwaukee deal, although Milwaukee was kind of the center of it, as it often is. This had to deal with everyone getting theirs. And if the governor did veto it, which I'm not, you know, might have been the right call, might not have been the right call, but it means that all these other localities and municipalities would have not necessarily been able to get their 20% increase, which again, especially in some of these areas that we're so starved out, really do need it. I kind of come at it with a Milwaukee view because I'm an older person here, but during my time at the state, I served on plenty of committees where we heard from areas where the local volunteer fire department couldn't even get enough vehicles or couldn't even get, you know, these are like volunteer firefighters from the community and they couldn't even get the most basic stuff because they're just getting so choked out. And these are, and ironically, these are actually heavily Republican areas, like, for example, in Travis Trandall's district in southwestern Wisconsin. So anyway, it was a leverage, it was a negotiating tactic to pit Milwaukee against the rest of the state and to basically kind of play chicken with Evers along the way. That being said, we are now coming up on tonight is the eve of the vote of the final piece of that, which is the sales tax. In other words, we've got all the negative policy that I mentioned earlier and that we discussed, but we don't have any of the money yet. And it's possible we could get all the money, all the policy, none of the money, which would be the worst case scenario. But at this point, they gave it up to the Common Council by 2/3 vote to decide if we're going to take home that about $200 million in revenue or not, which, you know, would be huge. And I'll just mention that, as we were talking offline a little bit, you said that there was a portion of it that had to go to hiring new police, which is true. That, you know, we have to get up to 1725. I believe in the current numbers, 1630. So the difference. So
that's 1,725 up from 1,600 and what?
30. Yep. So the difference basically breaks down to about $12 million of additional cost to the city and staff, which is huge. That's a lot. You know, $12 million is huge. That's half our library's budget, for example. But out of the about I say 200 because it's a round number, but around 193 194 million, so that takes us down to about 182 million, which is pretty much, you know, where we that's pretty much the budget shortfall this year. So it's a huge lifeline, but tomorrow's the vote, Tuesday, the 11th, and I am, you know, can't make a prediction right now as to where we're at, but I'm hopeful we'll get it done.
So let's just talk a little bit about what's the debate now on the Common Council, and how is that playing out, and how are you and other alder persons talking about addressing these issues in the light of, you know, King Boss's divide and conquer strategy? I mean, how do we not fall prey or victim to that again?
Well, as far as the policies that were enacted, we are and have been working nonstop to come together and come up with some creative workarounds and solutions. And in some cases, there might even be litigation, especially, regarding some of the potential home rule violations. And this is all, of course, in the context of August 1st, when we'll have a new Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin, Jana Protasiewicz, which might flip, you know, which will flip kind of the balance to one that might respect home rule a little bit more and be more cognizant of the law. So we are pretty much in total agreement that we need to fight like hell against every single one of those, or come up with ways to work around some of those provisions as best we can. But we want to leave all the tools on the table. We want to work with every single strategy and tactic that we can to overcome, because it's just not acceptable. And obviously, things like the DEI restrictions are so damaging and harmful to a city like Milwaukee that's historically used its government to disenfranchise certain, you know, members of the community based on their skin color. And we need to correct that and make up the disparities and keep fighting. So we will.
So we're coming up on a break, and then we'll come back on more on the road ahead. But here in the last 30 seconds, what do you see are the key issues that are going to be debated tomorrow on the floor?
I'm not sure. I got to think about that one. That is a tough question to answer, and it's been racking my brain all night. Let me think on that and come back at the break.
We are going to come back with that question after the break, folks. You heard it here. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. You are hearing live on the play out of what this budget cut is doing to the city.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast. There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mainly clear. Lows dip down to about 49. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 75. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night, 55. Cloudy. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday and Thursday. Upper 70s Wednesday, low 80s by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 77.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK. Be on it. New
York's dinner. Welcome back. This is your 12 Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, Civic Media Time, folks. And I am honored and privileged to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff.
Thank you.
Former State Assembly, now with the Common Council. And we've been talking about the whole budget process, shared revenue process, and how Milwaukee was played off against the rest of the state in really, really basic unfair ways. But tomorrow, it's going to play out in the halls of the Common Council. So, Jonathan, give us the inside scoop. What's going to be happening tomorrow, and how do you see the various positions? And you don't have to name people, but what are the arguments, and what do you think is going to be at the core of getting to what? You got to get to 10, right?
Yep, we got to get to 10. The part of the provision when it passed was for not a simple majority, but a two-thirds. So in the Common Council, 15 members means 10. This is the most important vote we're going to take probably in our lifetime here in Milwaukee. Being able to either A, bring in $200 million of additional revenue with the shared revenue component that can grow, or losing $200 million of services through cuts, if we don't get it, is as big of a decision as we'd ever have. And I think it's no exaggeration to say this is a choice between losing the city and saving it, and I plan to save it. That'll be my vote tomorrow. It's going to be on a sales tax, which is regressive by nature in the sense that it does not take income into account, and therefore people who make more money will have a lesser percentage of their overall money affected, and people who make less money will have a larger percentage. But it also, as opposed to property taxes, which often through rent do get passed down to everyone here, is not solely from Milwaukee. The estimates are about 35% of the property taxes would be from outside of Milwaukee. So you get people now coming in for Summerfest or going to see a live show or basketball game or Brewers or whatever. So about 35% of that or so is estimated to be from people outside of Milwaukee. On top of that, it does have exceptions of what can be taxed, such as food from the grocery store, medicine, gas, etc. And on top of that, if you look at a district like mine, I represent one of the wealthier district, one of the wealthiest district in the whole city. And my district, the third district, probably would pay, just throwing a rough estimate out there, maybe let's say 15% of the burden of this $200 million sales tax, and probably would, get about 3% of the services, because relatively speaking to the rest of the city, my district doesn't use a ton of services. Whereas there are districts out there who are much worse off socioeconomically who are going to have that inverse, are going to pay about 3% into it, but get about 15% of the service benefits, which is how it should be. I think that's totally fine. But I think for a lot of those districts is actually a much better deal, because that's the deal that we make as a society. We all pay in together and we get stuff for cheaper, as opposed to if we all individually had to pay for the service of garbage collection or, get debris removal or any other municipal function. And so I think it's vital, especially when we're talking about what it would do to the fire department, and even this, Mark, imagine this. Let's say we don't get the money. Let's say this doesn't work tomorrow. We don't get the 10 votes. So we have to make make a $200 million cut because we just don't have the support for it. So if we get rid of every single one of our libraries, completely cut out all the Milwaukee libraries, that's only about 10%. That's only a little more than $20 million. We still have a huge amount to make up. And that's if we got rid of all the libraries completely. It's the unimaginable catastrophe that the city would suffer is not one I even want to think about, but that's what we're facing tomorrow. And I'll say this too, the other side of it is my district, again, is one of the wealthier ones. And I predict that if, God forbid, that did happen, it would be likely that there would be people who could afford to that would simply move to more functional municipalities that could get the garbage collected on time, could have a proper neighborhood services department or public works or whatever. And there would be this continuous death spiral. And I think it'd be worse than Detroit. And I think it would happen a lot quicker. And that's what we're facing. And that's why I'll be thrilled to cast my vote in support of saving our city tomorrow, in support of bringing home the $200 million in tax revenue for the city.
It seems to me, full disclosure, folks, I do live in Jonathan's district. People always leave the city. There's always folks that are, afraid of diversity, don't like a diverse community. So I don't know if that's the overwhelming concern. The question I have, we have communities that have been devastated for years with no money. We had a train station that was supposed to be built in 53206, right?
Yep.
Walker didn't do it. So all those jobs in that future are gone. What do you say to aldermen in terms of what can you give them in terms of a promise to say, I'm going to take the money now, but let's go do something together?
One example is the Biden bucks, the ARPA dollars. Now, every state across the country had municipalities that benefited from this, including Milwaukee, and the ARPA dollars we got were supposed to be for transformational, often infrastructure improvements and capital improvements that were supposed to be generationally transformative. Unfortunately, because of the gap that we've been suffering, a lot of that money's been used just to plug holes to keep basic municipal functions going. But if we can take home this revenue, and if we can do it immediately and get the ball rolling, we can, instead of using that money to plug holes, use it for these other transformational projects. And if we look at it, a lot of that money that we had that wasn't used to plug the hole already went to some of the hardest hit districts. We can keep doing that, but we have to bring the money home.
Well, we're all going to be watching tomorrow to see what happens, how it plays out, whether this Common Council can put it together.
One small correction. My wife is telling me it was Laos, not Cambodia. I misspoke, so I want to correct that record. Sorry about that. My bad. It's been a long day.
You heard it live. Watch the outcome tomorrow. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Keep Wisconsin moving forward, folks. Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If he's smart, he gon' act like a fan. Thinking you bigger, they got your head gas. You slow, so I get him a pass. Catch it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News,